Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. What really happens when a pathogen tries to steal your body's nutrients to survive?
Well, it is definitely not a simple process.
No, it's not. I mean, imagine for a second that you are at a summer barbecue. You take a bite of a piece of chicken that unfortunately was slightly undercooked. Fast forward a few hours.
Yeah, and a microscopic invasion force of Salmonella bacteria has just entered your stomach.
Exactly. They survive the harsh acid bath and finally arrive at their target, which is your gut lining. Now, we usually think of an infection as this straightforward battle where bacteria attack and our immune system rushes in with white blood cells to destroy them.
Right. The classic bloody battle scenario.
Right. But long before those white blood cells ever show up to the fight, there is a totally different invisible conflict happening the very second those bacteria touch your intestines.
Mm-hmm. It starts immediately.
Right there, inside you, a literal tug of war is taking place over trace metals. It turns out your body and the invading bacteria both desperately need the exact same microscopic resources, like iron and zinc, just to stay alive. Okay, let's unpack this.
Well, today we celebrate the work of Amelia Norberg, Leigh Nodler, Johanna Elfenbein, and their teams at the University of Vermont, UW-Madison, and Vanderbilt University, who have advanced our understanding of nutritional immunity.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Their 2026 publication in PNAS provides the exact blueprint of how our bodies fight this microscopic siege. They specifically looked at the gut epithelium, which is that very first line of defense against foodborne pathogens.
So, we know the body tries to hide these metals, but where does this battle actually start? If I eat that undercooked chicken, the first thing those bacteria hit isn't my deep immune system, right?
No, not at all. It hits that single layer of cells lining your intestines. That is the primary battlefield. The clinical problem we are looking at revolves around a concept called nutritional immunity.
Nutritional immunity, okay.
Yeah, so both you as the vertebrate host and, you know, pathogenic microorganisms trying to invade you require trace nutrient metals for basic cellular functions. To establish an infection, those invading microbes have to scavenge trace metals from your tissues.
Right, so if they can't get iron, zinc, or manganese, they can't replicate.
Exactly. As a counterdefense, your body utilizes nutritional immunity, which is essentially the strategy of deliberately withholding those transition metals. The whole objective is to starve the microbial invaders before they can multiply and cause severe disease.
It makes me think of like a medieval fortress under siege. The defending army knows the invaders are coming, so they don't just lock the gates. They actively hide all the food, poison the wells outside, and hoard the water inside the castle walls.
That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, so the invaded forces simply starve to death before they can even breach the keep.
That analogy captures the severity of the tactic perfectly. And, you know, to pull off that hoarding, the body uses specialized molecular guards to move these resources around.
Okay, who are the guards?
They belong to the Salute Carrier 11, or SLC-11, family of transition metal transporters. Now, scientists already knew a fair amount about one specific member of this family, which is SLC-11A1.
Okay.
It is primarily expressed in professional immune cells, like macrophages. When a macrophage swallows the bacterium, it traps it in a highly acidic digestion chamber called a phagolysosome. SLC-11A1 pumps the metals out of that chamber, starving the bacteria deeper in tissues like the spleen and liver.
Wait, if SLC-11A1 is doing this in the deep tissues and inside the heavy-duty immune cells, what is protecting the surface? I mean, what is guarding the fortress wall itself?
Well, that brings us to the core mystery this deep dive explores. We are looking at its sibling protein, SLC-11A2, which is also known as NRAMP2. Unlike its deep tissue sibling, SLC-11A2 is highly expressed in intestinal epithelial cells, or IECs.
Ah, so right at the border.
Exactly. It is uniquely positioned at the primary site of trace metal absorption in your entire body. We knew it absorbed nutrients from your food, but its exact role during an active infection was previously a blind spot.
So we didn't know if it helped defend the border or if it was just like a passive nutrient pipe.
Right. What's fascinating here is that pathogens have evolved numerous countermeasures to fight back for these metals. They don't just accept starvation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They deploy highly specialized molecular tools to try and steal the iron and manganese back. So the bioavailability of these trace metals ultimately dictates whether you get sick or stay healthy.
To really understand a microscopic siege like this, you need a way to actually see who is starving and when and where. You have to somehow spy on the fortress while it's being attacked.
Right.
How do researchers even begin to pull that off?
It requires a very specific approach. They utilized an animal model highly relevant to acute salmonella-induced enteritis, specifically the bovine ligated ileal jejunal loop model.
Hold on, bovine. As in calves. Why calves and not lab mice? It feels like every medical study we look at uses mice.
It's a vital distinction, actually. Researchers specifically chose calves because Salmonella typhimurium is a natural pathogen of cattle. When a calf gets infected, it shows very similar signs of gastrointestinal disease and pathology as a human would.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
But there is a much more critical genetic reason. Many of the standard common inbred lab mice, like the C57BL6 strain, have naturally occurring genetic mutations in their SLC11 genes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Specifically, they have a null mutation in SLC11A1, meaning that guard protein is essentially broken from birth. European breeds of cattle do not have this mutation.
Ah, I see.
Their natural metal transporting defenses are completely intact, giving researchers a much more accurate functioning model of a healthy host response.
Okay, that makes total sense. You want to study a fully functioning fortress, not one that already has a broken supply chain. But I'm still trying to picture this ligated loop thing.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Are they just feeding the calf salmonella and waiting?
Not quite. The ligated loop model is a highly controlled surgical technique. While the animal is under anesthesia, researchers gently expose a section of the intestine and use ligatures, which are basically tiny surgical ties, to section off the intestine into small, isolated segments.
Sort of like linking sausages.
Exactly like linking sausages. This creates individual, self-contained testing chambers within a living, breathing gut. They can introduce the bacteria into one specific loop, a control solution into another, and directly compare how the living tissue reacts in real time.
Wow, that is incredibly precise. You literally turn the gut into a row of living petri dishes.
Yep, without the bacteria spreading everywhere.
But even with that setup, how do you track the starvation itself? You can't exactly ask the bacteria if they're hungry.
True. To solve that, the researchers turned to genetic engineering, creating fluorescent biosensors. The team altered the Salmonella enterica bacteria to carry fluorescent sensors attached to specific gene promoters.
Just to make sure we're all on the same page, a promoter is basically a genetic on switch, right?
Spot on. It's the sequence of DNA that turns a gene on or off depending on the environment. They use the iron promoter for iron, the CidA promoter for both iron and manganese, and the ZinT promoter for zinc.
Okay, so how do the sensors work?
In a normal metal-rich environment, these genetic switches are flipped off. The bacteria behave normally. But the moment the bacteria are starved of these specific metals, specifically when the concentrations drop below 0.1 micromolar, these promoters activate.
And then what happens?
When they flip on, they trigger a fluorescent protein, causing the bacteria to literally glow bright green under a fluorescence microscope.
That is brilliant. It's like they hot-wired the bacteria with their own dashboard warning lights.
That is a highly appropriate analogy.
Like a low battery indicator on a smartphone, but instead of needing a charger, it means the bacteria running out of iron or zinc. You look under the microscope, and any bacterium flashing green is essentially screaming, "I'm starving."
Exactly. And to complement this living animal model, the researchers also brought the investigation into the lab using human colon epithelial cells, known as HCT116 cells.
Okay, what did they do with those?
They utilized CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing technology, which acts like microscopic biological scissors, to completely cut out the SLC11A2 gene in these human cells. This created a knockout model.
So they just, like, deleted the defender?
Yes. By comparing normal human cells to these knockout cells, they could see exactly what happens when you remove that single, specific defender from the cell, isolating its exact contribution to the starvation tactic.
Now that the warning lights are installed and the models are prepped, let's talk about what the researchers actually witnessed when the siege began, because the timeline here is shockingly fast.
It really is. The spatiotemporal mapping, meaning tracking where and when this happened, was remarkable. Within just 2 hours of inoculating those calf intestinal loops, they found that up to approximately 38% of the bacteria that had invaded the epithelial cells were already glowing green.
2 hours. I always assume the body took a day or two to really mount a defense.
No, a significant portion of the invading force was experiencing severe restriction of iron, zinc, and manganese right at the start line.
But what does 38% starvation even look like under the scope?
It looks like a constellation of green stars suddenly switching on inside the host cells. It provides visual proof that the host doesn't wait for the bacteria to settle in.
Wow.
And the location of this starvation shifted as the infection progressed. By 8 hours post-infection, the most intense starvation signals were happening deeper in the tissue, in a layer called the lamina propria.
Wait, what exactly is the lamina propria?
Think of the epithelial cells as the grass on your lawn and the lamina propria as the soil directly underneath it. It's a thin layer of connective tissue just below the surface barrier where a lot of those professional immune cells patrol.
So by 8 hours, the battle has moved into the soil, so to speak.
Right. But the critical takeaway for this study is that the initial starvation happens immediately, right in the surface grass, the epithelial cells.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because the researchers didn't just see the bacteria starving, they actually caught the host protein in the act.
They did indeed.
They mapped the physical movement of the SLC-E11A2 transporter during the infection. But how does a protein built into the cell membrane actually move around to fight bacteria?
It's a dynamic process. When Salmonella invades a host cell, it doesn't just float freely in the cellular fluid. It forces the host's own cell membrane to wrap around it, creating a protective bubble called a Salmonella-containing vacuole, or SCV.
Okay, so it builds itself a little bunker.
Yeah. And the researchers observed that the host cell actively fights back by physically relocating the SLC-11A2 proteins. The host recruits these transporters, moving them directly to the membrane of that SCV bubble as it matures inside the cell.
Oh, I see.
Once embedded in the bubble's wall, SLC-11A2 acts like a targeted vacuum, forcefully sucking the transition metals out of the vacuole away from the bacteria trapped inside.
A vacuole vacuum. It traps the bacteria in a bubble and then literally drains the life-sustaining metals right out of it.
Exactly.
But if it's vacuuming the iron out of the bubble, where does it put it? Does it destroy the iron?
It can't destroy the iron, as elements can't be destroyed that way. Instead, the vacuum pumps the iron out of the vacuole and into the host cell's general cytoplasm.
Oh, clever.
Yeah, effectively hiding the metals in the broader cellular environment where the trapped bacteria can no longer reach them. And we know definitively that it is SLC-11A2 doing this heavy lifting because of those CRISPR knockout results we discussed earlier.
Right, the human cells where they use biological scissors to remove the defender. What happened to the bacteria in those cells?
Without SLC-11A2 acting as a vacuum, the Salmonella went completely unchecked. The host could no longer drain the metals, meaning the bacteria had a plentiful supply of everything they needed to multiply.
So they just threw a party in there.
Pretty much. Yeah. To ensure they were only measuring the specific battle, the researchers used a growth medium with only 1% fetal calf serum.
1% serum. Is that basically lab speak for putting the cells on a strict diet so there are no free-floating models to skew the results?
That is exactly what it is. It creates a restricted background environment, forcing the bacteria to rely entirely on what they can steal from the host cell.
And what were the numbers?
In that restricted environment, bacterial replication inside the knockout cells jumped drastically. It reached up to a 23.6-fold increase over 16 hours. We compare that to just a 12.1-fold replication in the normal wild-type cells that still had their SLC-11A2 defense intact.
So when the host defense was removed, the bacteria multiplied almost twice as fast. Imagine a home invader realizing you don't have an alarm system or heavy locks. They immediately call in all their friends.
Exactly. Within hours, the cell is completely overrun. But earlier, you mentioned that the pathogens have their own countermeasures.
Right. How do they fight a membrane vacuum?
The bacteria launch a highly sophisticated counterattack using their own specialized molecular tools. Two of the most important are MNT, which is a transporter for manganese and iron, and ENTC, which is an enzyme responsible for synthesizing siderophores, like enterobactin.
Siderophores. I think I've heard of these. They're like chemical grappling hooks, right?
That's a great visual. Siderophores are small, high-affinity, iron-chelating compounds. The bacteria secrete these chemical hooks into the vacuole. They bind to any available iron with incredible physical strength. And then the bacteria reeled the iron back in.
So it's basically the host vacuum pulling one way and the bacterial hook pulling the other way.
Yes. The battle is quite literal molecular physics. The binding affinity of the bacterial siderophore pulling the iron one way versus the pulling force of the host's SLC11A2 vacuum pulling it the other way.
It really is a tug of war.
Yeah.
So who wins? How does a chemical hook beat a membrane vacuum?
Well, it depends on the environment. The study demonstrated that mutant Salmonella lacking these specific chemical hooks were severely restricted in their growth inside normal host cells. The host's vacuum easily overpowered them.
Okay, but what if you put those defective bacteria in the knockout cells?
When researchers placed those same defective hookless bacteria inside the CRISPR knockout cells, the ones missing the SLC11A2 vacuum, those bacteria grew just fine.
Wow.
This proves that the entire battle and the bacteria's ability to survive hinges entirely on this direct mechanical competition for trace metals.
So what does this all mean for the listener? I mean, understanding the physics of a microscopic tug of war is cool, but could this actually change how we approach treatments?
It absolutely could.
Like, if we are struggling to kill drug-resistant bugs with traditional antibiotics, could we design therapies that just help our gut lining starve them better?
That is precisely the kind of translational thinking this research provokes and why it is so significant. Traditionally, medical science has viewed the gut lining primarily as a physical barrier.
Right, like a passive wall of cells that occasionally secretes mucus to wash things away.
Exactly. But this research proves that nutritional immunity isn't just the job of the deep tissue immune system. It is an intrinsic, highly active defense mechanism of the gut epithelium itself.
That changes a lot.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it fundamentally reshapes our understanding of innate immunity. It suggests that reinforcing these natural metal withholding pathways could be a highly viable strategy to enhance our resilience against enteric infections.
Which is huge, considering the global rise of antibiotic resistance. We are constantly looking for new weapons against superbugs, and this offers a completely different angle of defense.
Definitely.
Instead of trying to poison the bacteria with antibiotics, we just upgrade the fortress wall so they starve the second they arrive.
It is a profoundly promising avenue. However, as with all complex biology, we must critically evaluate the study's limitations.
Fair enough. Where are the blind spots?
Well, the calf intestinal loop models are exceptional for capturing the immediate acute phase of infection in living tissue, but they only represent the first 8 hours. We do not see the long-term resolution of the disease in this specific model. Furthermore, while the human lab cell cultures, the HCT116 cells, are invaluable for isolating genetic variables like the CRISPR knockouts, a uniform layer of identical cells in a sterile plastic dish can never perfectly mimic the living gut.
Right. A plastic dish doesn't have a microbiome or active digestion or stomach acid flowing through it. But even with those limitations, the underlying mechanism they've uncovered is undeniable. We are looking at a fundamental biological truth about how our bodies react the millisecond a pathogen crosses the threshold.
Yes, we absolutely are. To synthesize the entire journey of this deep dive, the cells lining our gut actively use the broad specificity metal transporter SLC11A2 as a targeted weapon to suck iron and manganese away from invading Salmonella. By directly starving these pathogens inside the cell's own vacuoles, the host effectively limits bacterial replication before the broader immune system even has to step in.
What does this mean for how our modern diets or even our daily iron supplements might inadvertently be arming the very gut invaders our bodies are working so hard to starve?
That is definitely something to think about.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
Where the neon microscopes glow, a shadow slips in where the warm cells grow. It thinks it can settle, it thinks it can stay, but the pantry is closing, no feast today. You can hide in a bubble, build walls in the dark, but we hear your hunger like a tiny spark. We cut the supply lines, quiet and sure. Starve out the storm with the natural cure. Lock the metals away, let the invade away. Iron and manganese, seal that gate. In the vacuum all night, watch the numbers fall. No fuel for the fire when we withhold it all. Lock the metals away. No easy win. Some cells see the signal low down to the bone. Less than a whisper of iron to own. A transporter pulls up like a guard on call. Turns the lights down low inside the wall. Try to steal it back with a desperate plan. Empty H on the run, siren voice in hand. But every bright grab meets a colder defense. We tighten the silence with patient suspense. Lock the metals away, let the invader. Shift, a hidden kind of power, cellular gift in the gut where the neon microscopes glow. A shadow slips in where the warm cells grow. It thinks it can settle, it thinks it can stay. But the pantry is closing, no feast today. You can hide in a bubble, build walls in the dark. But we hear your hunger like a tiny spark. We cut the supply lines quiet and sure. Starve out the storm with the natural cure. Lock